This week on Straight Talk Africa, in an unprecedented move, U.S. President Joe Biden drops out of the presidential race and endorses Vice President Kamala Harris.
And it is my intention to go out and earn this nomination and to win. So in the days and weeks ahead, I, together with you, will do everything in my power to unite our Democratic Party, to unite our nation.
Can Harris mobilize and inspire the electorate in the United States? Is she a formidable opponent to Donald Trump? If Harris wins the presidency, will there be changes in U.S.-Africa relations? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I'm your host, Vincent McCorry. It has been an eventful week in U.S. politics that has Americans and the whole world watching. President Joe Biden's decision to not seek re-election has upended the presidential campaign just days after the opposing Republican Party formally chose Donald Trump as its nominee. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns reports on voters' reactions to the shifting political landscape.
President Joe Biden ending his run for re-election shocked Georgia voter John Diggs.
I think a lot of people like me in the United States who are particularly maybe in the middle, undecided, or even leaning Democrat, we're still in shock.
Biden should have quit sooner, says Georgia voter Johnny Bester.
I was a little nervous about the direction of our country because of Biden being in office for such a long period of time. And I didn't want to see that again, to be honest. But then we think about candidacy, and we look at Trump, and then who else do we have?
In the Midwest state of Ohio, Democratic voter Richard Freeman says Biden would have lost to Donald Trump.
Well, I think it's a good decision. I think he didn't have a chance against Trump. Too many people were concerned about his age, which I was too.
In Nebraska, voter Kathy Lindmeyer says Biden has lost some mental sharpness since he was elected.
I'm sad because I do feel that Biden did a good job, and he really came into this wanting to unify the country. That didn't happen.
In South Carolina, voter Mariana Hall says Biden's decision does nothing to change her support for Trump.
I think it's going to be really interesting to watch the Democratic Party kind of scramble to determine who they're going to put in his place. I was seeing there were some things that they weren't really comfortable putting Kamala Harris in there because of all the negative against the current administration.
Vice President Harris is the first choice for Washington State voter Jill Holm.
I'm rooting for Kamala. Love to see a female up there, you know, and I think Kamala is incredibly sharp, speaks well. I think that she's ready. She has some really solid experience behind her.
In the Pacific Northwest state of Oregon, voter David Strong is ready to back Harris.
You know, it's not a given that Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee. If she's not, then I think there's going to be more bad blood within the Democratic Party.
In New York, voter Stacey Pritt says it will be hard for any Democrat to beat Trump.
Meet somebody who is younger, who will seem more competent at least. Whether or not whoever it is can beat Trump, I don't know. It's better, though. I feel like we actually have a chance.
New Yorker Madeline Mills says Biden's decision may have come too late.
I wish that the Democratic Party had figured this out earlier so that it doesn't feel so rushed and chaotic at the moment. But I think that if Biden had stayed as a candidate, like, he would have lost to Trump anyway.
While Biden is backing Harris to replace him as the Democratic Party's presidential nominee, that is a decision for delegates to the party's convention next month in Chicago. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Well, VOA Scott Stearns fired that report. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris is smashing fundraising records as the Democratic Party's donors, big and small, open their checkbooks. In total, Harris' team raised more than $81 million in the 24-hour period since President Biden's announcement. For insight into the new reality in the American elections politics, we turn to Yetunde Omede, Professor of Global Affairs and Politics and Director of the Office of Civil and Community Engagement at the State University of New York. She joins us from New York. And here in Washington, we are joined by Bruce Fain, a constitutional and an international lawyer. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, both. Now, I'm going to start with a lady all the way in New York. President Lyndon B. Johnson dropped out of the race in 1968 election in late March. And, he was experiencing low approval ratings. So that makes President Joe Biden, the first president to drop out of a race so close to the election. What does this do to the party? What challenges does this present? I'll start with you, and both of you respond to this. Start with you, Mehdi.
Thank you so much for having me today. Yes, it creates a significant challenge. Already the Democratic Party was experiencing areas where they weren't fully united. You had areas where people felt that the Democratic Party was not the party that represented their ideals, members of that party. And dropping out this late in the game, this late in the race, did not really give people enough time to really unify and come around and support a candidate who they know would bring the party forward. And so right now, they really need to strategize to figure out how are they going to not only win over independents, those who are moderate, who were liberal-leaning before but now feel that maybe both parties don't represent their needs. How are they going to galvanize and energize a base that often has felt left out of the fray or not necessarily understanding where the party is going or the leadership? And so there are a lot of significant challenges and questions that members of the party have. And hopefully, with this nomination of Vice President Harris, that hopefully will change as the little time that they have continues until they get to the convention.
Mm-hmm. And Bruce, do you see challenges here?
Well, I think there were challenges, as was noted, at the time that Mr. Biden withdrew. The question you're really asking are the challenges is even greater or less after withdrawal. In my view, the challenges are less. It was obvious that Mr. Biden, for several months, if not longer, was in very precarious health. I think he was losing the confidence of the voters every time he stood up and spoke. He had memory losses. He looked mummified. And the fact that he's no longer the candidate is going to be plus. How much of a plus, we don't know yet. I think one of the things we learned about the previous situation where President Johnson withdrew and then Hubert Humphrey, his vice president, became the nominee, was that Humphrey was kind of tied to Johnson's failed Vietnam policies, and that probably cost him the election. He didn't feel, as the vice president, he could part company with Lyndon Johnson, even on the issues that called Johnson into great disrepute. And I think Kamala Harris will confront that same issue. How free will she be to abandon Mr. Biden's policies, which will continue until January of 2025, and yet try to escape the unpopularity associated with him? I think it's an uphill battle, but also Mr. Trump, we need to know, is very volatile. He's very narcissistic, and he could do things that could shoot himself in the foot. So she still has a chance to win.
Yes. We know that, just by being endorsed by President Joe Biden doesn't make automatically the person will be on the ballot in November. Maybe just share with us what has to happen in between so people understand what is the process of actually getting the person as the official party nominee that will be in the ballot in November.
Well, I could say the United States Supreme Court, in a case called Cousins against Wigota, this was 1972, made it clear that political parties are private organizations and they have plenary authority to decide how they choose a nominee. And they can change the party rules at any time if they feel it's appropriate to maximize their likelihood of success. So at present, I think the party rules indicate that Mr. Biden dropping out of the race indicates that the thousands of delegates that had been elected, pledged to him, are now free to vote whoever they want to vote for. But the party could change the rule and say, you have to vote for whoever Mr. Biden tells you to vote for. I do think, however, that the likelihood as a political matter that Kamala Harris wins the nomination is overwhelming, because I think most of the potential rivals feel that this is like getting the baton that Napoleon issued to Marshal Ney to retreat from Moscow. That is, it's going to be a huge uphill battle. No one wants to go in and be destroyed in a campaign against Mr. Trump, and then they figure that they're out of commission for 2028. And so I don't think that she's going to confront political rivals, because they don't really want the nominee, yes, nomination.
All right. Now, Professor Itunde, we know that earlier at the top of our show, we did mention that Kamala Harris has raised a significant amount of money within a very short time. Also, we've seen latest polls putting her at least 2 points ahead of former President Trump. Is this something that should be celebrated at this point, or should it be seen, as some have said, especially from the Republican side, as just a very short honeymoon?
I would think that it should be celebrated, because, look, it's unprecedented. She's raised over $100 million in a couple of days. She has majority of the support to actually be elected and be the Democratic pick for presidency. So at this point, it seems like things are running full steam. She's been campaigning, putting herself at the forefront, speaking in the position, if she were president, what the things that she would do. So we are seeing that rallying and that galvanizing and that energizing of the base that needed to happen a long time ago. I know we can look back and say, you know, these things should have happened. You know, President Biden probably should have stepped aside a long time ago or a couple of months ago in order to give the base and the party enough time to galvanize itself and to strategically make sure that they have everything in place to win against Donald Trump. But now we are here, right? And I do commend him for stepping aside and giving the party a chance in this battle, because we've all seen when it came to his health and, you know, his ability and his agility. And when they're talking about, look, he you know, they were concealing any forms of his health and his capability of running the country, he's probably projecting in 4 years, where will I be? And I think that's the decision that it's based upon. So what we are seeing and the projections we are seeing in support of Kamala Harris, I think, is not just a honeymoon. I think it may go full steam, as we don't have that much time. And I think the base is aware that they need to unify and the party needs to come together and move forward.
Yes. Now, within the party, there is the effort to unify. But outside of the party, Bruce, some have said that these numbers may just reflect, for just momentarily, that kind of enthusiasm. But then when the campaign picks up, especially on the Republican side, when the attacks start coming in, that might change. The question is that going to be a factor, especially there have been talks about the race card here being used, and perhaps even the female issue in attacks against her? Will that potentially work in favor of the Republicans?
Well, in my view, we have two candidates. We say de facto Kamala Harris will get the Democratic nominee. They are not giants, and I don't want to be condescending, but Mr. Trump and Kamala Harris are not George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln. They do not have a commanding, overwhelming support, deep philosophical support, because they are virtual legends in politics. So the support they have is, in some sense, on both sides, a little bit fragile. Now, Mr. Trump has his MAGA crowd, but it's clearly less than a majority. They'd probably continue to vote for him if he went out tomorrow on Fifth Avenue in New York and shot somebody in the head. Now, I don't think Kamala Harris has a following of that fanatical sort, but still, it's fragile. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a long storied career like George Washington. So it means that the politics is going to be uncertain and fluid on both sides, I believe. You talk about the temporary blip for Kamala Harris in the fundraising. Well, there was that after there was the attempted assassination of Mr. Trump as well. But I don't think that's going to feature for 99% of the voters when comes November. So I just think we just need to be careful, not believe that the race is going to come out one way or the other, and be reminded of all the newspaper headlines in 1948. Thomas Dewey wins as Mr. Truman was sworn in as the next president.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on what's next for the U.S. elections and how U.S.-Africa policy could change. Stay with us.
Times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
Whatever President Biden has done is commendable, because he has portrayed to the world it's not all about power. Once you feel what you've done is sufficient and it's enough, you can step out, go and mentor the others, because the country is not just about you. There are very many people who can govern, who can give direction.
When his time has come to an end, you have to pave way for other leaders to come. It doesn't show that you are hungry of power, but it shows a lot of democracy as the United States of America. President Biden has shown the world that he can manage despite his old age.
Biden had to drop out because all the odds are stacked against him. He can't beat Trump. So to salvage the image and give the Democratic Party an opportunity, he had no choice but to exit the rest from the rest. The challenge is he exited and then he endorsed Kamala Harris. The numbers are not in favor of Kamala Harris. Michelle Obama would have been the ideal candidate, because the numbers were indicating that she would beat Biden by 6%. But he has said he's not ready to run.
Not such a bad idea for him to take a back seat. He didn't seem to have the energy he had the time he was being elected.
Him dropping out was the least expected. But as we can see, it will have like an adverse effect on the elections. And also, it has given the other party an upper hand in winning. And
okay, I feel like at this point in his career, he is advanced and experienced,
And if he chose to get out of the race right now, then he has his reasons, and they are probably important.
Well, we just heard the opinions of Kenyans about the latest developments in the election process in the United States. My guests are Yetunde Omede, a professor of global affairs and director of the Office of Civic and Community Engagement at the State University of New York. Also with us is Bruce Fain, a constitutional and international lawyer. Now, Yetunde, you know, if Harris indeed gets to be in the ballot November, she becomes the second female to run for president, but also she's not only just a female, but also a woman with a mixed black and South Asian blood. Does this, what is the significance of this, and in the run-up, how does this help her in terms of the appeal she has to the voters?
I think for those who are in support of diversity of thoughts, diversity of age, diversity of race, she is a representation of that. Father coming from Jamaica, mother from India. She is a representation of the diversity of this country. And those things are going to work to her benefit. On the other hand, they will probably work against her for those who are wanting to repeal the very, you know, meanings of what diversity means to this country and the fabric. And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, we look at what separates former President Trump and Vice President Harris. But the thing that connects them is that they both come from immigrant families, right? President Trump's grandfather from Germany, the mother from Scottish background as well. I think these are two things that, although we talk about immigration and we talk about the policies in this country and we know where both parties stand, neither one of them would be able to probably be where they are today, or who knows what the future would hold for them if their family did not migrate to the United States. So they both have that story. That story is something that is a shared history between the two of them. So it can work to their favor. It just depends on how they position it, the way they position their policy and how and the rhetoric they stand behind. She will be the first woman of color, right? So those things are areas where it is not progressive in the world, because we've had that. Other countries have had women presidents. We have not yet to have that in a country where we claim to be very progressive. So it would be interesting. A lot of people are, you know, there's negative rhetoric saying that a woman can't lead the country and that they don't feel comfortable with the woman leading. These were some of the same attacks that were levied against Hillary Clinton when she went for presidency. And, you know, at this point in stage, I think we would be more progressive enough and have looked to other countries that we influence, right, and that we often like to champion women's rights too and human rights too, to really level that sort of attack against women and understand that they are qualified and competent, and that we can find qualified and competent people to serve in any space and sector in our mm-hmm. political landscape.
Now, Bruce, there are some who are saying that some of the voters are becoming a bit apathetic, especially the younger ones, because of, you know, President Biden's age, and also on the other side, they also don't see too much hope. Is this a game changer, especially given that Kamala Harris is also younger significantly, I mean, comparatively, and also, you know, a female and younger?
Well, I think that in general, the young, whatever the expectations are by the pollsters, don't turn out in significant numbers, even if they do to protest Gaza and other issues. They don't have as much at stake. They don't have taxpayers. They're not as regulated by the government. And despite almost quadrennial forecasts, there will be a record number of young voters. It never has happened in the past. So I don't think that is going to be a significant influence. I also think with regard to the issue of being a female and being black, we know that there was at least some unprecedented progress there, if you call it that, when Mr. Biden appointed a black woman to the United States Supreme Court, Justice Jackson. She was confirmed. But I think at present, if we look at the decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court on affirmative action and some of the resistance to DEI, I think the country is very divided over whether or not some think of that being a woman, being a black, instead of being a neutral factor, you don't consider at all. You just consider merit. But being a tribal factor that you vote for, I think the country is very divided. So I think it's probably be a wash. I think some will vote for her, some maybe vote against her, if they think that her nomination is not based purely on merit, but just because she was going to play the woman or the race card.
Yes. Yatunda, in terms of the continent of Africa, some are watching to see what could change when they consider the fact that at the moment, you know, President Biden is leaving office without even having gone anywhere closer to Africa. What do you make of what Harris presidency could mean for the U.S. Africa policy?
I think the Biden administration currently has done a lot of work in terms of their relationships and their bilateral relationships with countries on the continent, especially in Africa. But primarily, I think they're going to be looking to see, you know, how does her presidency or how does her being positioned to run as president, what impact will that have on many of the agreements that Biden has had in his administration? Are these things that are going to be carried over? Will it be more of the same? I think they're also looking to see where she stands, right? So now she is still a part of the Biden administration as his vice presidential pick, but if she is going to be in the forefront as the presidential nomination pick for the Democratic Party, she has to also be able to not only separate herself, but be able to show the world who she is, what she believes in, and not necessarily just the rhetoric of President Biden, right? So I think that's one of the challenges that she may have of how does she uniquely, in a way, separate herself and stand on her own and be able to show the American people and tell the American people what their policy is, what her global policies or, you know, or impact and imprint will be, and not just rhetoric about President, former President Trump. I think people want to see what are the policies, what is your stance when it comes to, you know, Russia and Ukraine? What is your stance when it comes to immigration policy? What is your stance when it comes to higher education? All of these things have ripple effect and global ripple effect and implications. And people really need to hear that. I think we've gone through years of listening to the media and it be surrounded by one person. Now we need to get to the policy of the matter. We need to get to policy and principles and really focus on that. So the American people know where we're going, right? We know what's in store. We know what each candidate is going to bring forward, not just necessarily the divisiveness and the hatred. And I think that's a global expectation that people are really looking to and people really want and need.
Well, we leave it here. Thank you both. Yatunde Omede and Bruce Fain, thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.